we've got here is a Venn diagram with microneedles on one side and integrated circuit testing on the other side. But what's in the middle? Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, of course. Hey! Hey, everybody. Welcome to this here electronic engineering podcast brought to you by eejournal.com and hosted by me, Amelia Dalton. Yes, testing, testing, and even more testing is the name of the game in this week's podcast. So let's start things off with that microneedle business. Now, most of us don't like needles, right? I don't have a particular personal phobia about them like some people do. I'd rather just not deal with them. My irrational fear surrounds moths, but that's a different story entirely. So, what if we never had to deal with needles ever again? That might actually be a reality somewhere down the line if a team at Rice University has anything to do with it. So get this. Engineers at Rice University have designed a new bandage-like microneedle device that has the ability to detect key biomarkers of a disease without drawing a single drop of blood. Okay? So, how exactly? Well, this entirely pain-free patch uses 16 microneedles that are in an array, and each of these microneedles are only around 375 microns wide. And these microneedles, instead of drawing blood, actually only draw a little bit of your dermal interstitial fluid, which surrounds the cells in our skin. So it's this fluid that's key. In it are specific biomarkers that can reveal the presence of a disease. Okay, so along with this microneedle patch that draws out that dermal fluid, this team from Rice University also created a test strip that would analyze that fluid by determining which antibodies were reacting to the presence of specific biomarkers. In this first test at Rice University, this team has put malaria in its sights. This setup can not only process, but also deliver a positive or negative result for a malaria test in just 20 minutes. And get this, the whole setup costs less than $1 to produce in bulk. Now, as you can undoubtedly imagine, this would be a great solution for testing malaria in developing areas of the world where healthcare professionals are at a premium. But malaria isn't the only disease that this team at Rice University is looking to attack with these new microneedle patches. They also contend that this solution could be used to find dermal biomarkers of other diseases, including maybe COVID-19? Wow. So if you want even more information about these microneedle patches developed at Rice University, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com. And now it's time for something completely different, but testing just the same. It's time to bring in Gayer Aida from Mentor. Gayer and I are talking about why the days of pass-fail IC testing are long gone, why test equipment has evolved into machine learning and data collection equipment, and what the future of IC testing looks like going forward. All right, let's go. Hi, Gayer. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
So, since the International Test Conference was earlier this week, and for my audience who were not able to attend, Gayer, what do you see are the biggest trends and hot topics in the realm of IC test and measurement these days?
Well, so IC test kind of, has to follow, whatever happens in the semiconductor industry, right? So, a lot of the trends in test mirror what happens. And some of these are some of the same old boring ones we've had for 20 years with, bigger designs, smaller transistors, faster transistors, all of that stuff. But there are some things that I think are a bit more interesting. One is, for instance, that, everybody in the semiconductor industry is now very excited about AI. And the reason for that is that AI brought with it a huge investment into the semiconductor space. And for people like me, that means there are more people I can sell stuff to. But what's really interesting about that particular, the AI space and the AI specific chips, is that they're designed a little different, right? So yes, they're bigger and faster and all of that, but they're also built in a slightly different way, which means that, okay, finally, some like new challenges other than just the same old ones, right? So just as an example, like the AI chips, many of these are built up. They do what they call parallel processing. So they have like large numbers of like tiny little components that all look exactly the same. And in test, you want to, you know, leverage the fact that this is not one big monster. It's a huge number of identical things. So can you make the test more efficient that way? Now, the other trend, I think, is more of an existential question in the sense of, what's the meaning of life? What's the meaning of test? Just to kind of get the definition straight, test is really about, does this IC have defects in it or not? So there's this other space called verification, which is about whether, the designer actually designed the right thing. Now, if the designer did the right thing, but the thing that comes out of the factory doesn't work, that's a defect. And that's what test is about. Test used to be just kind of that pass, fail, rubber stamp at the end of the factory, right? Either thing, this works and you sell it. It doesn't work, you throw it in the trash. And then people start to realize that you could use some of the same technology though, and things that you do to make tests happen to also understand, learn more about the device if it doesn't work. So rather than throwing everything in the trash, now the test equipment is now data collection equipment, and machine learning algorithms are applied to now understand, okay, all of these things fail because of this, and this is how you correct it, right? So test kind of grew from being, yes, no, to become more intelligent, more valuable, really. And then that expansion also continues into, what happens after the chip leaves the factory and it ends up somewhere in the middle of your car. You want everything to work. And if all of a sudden the brakes don't work, that's not a good thing. So all the electronics in the car keeps testing itself on a regular basis. And that concept isn't new, but now with so much electronic going into cars, it's like every single semiconductor company now has to deal with, test is not just about manufacturing. It's not just about pass fail. It's also something that has to do with the whole lifetime of the chip. So there's that kind of growth of what test means, and also kind of blurring the lines also between test that has to do with defects and kind of the functional operation of the device, because just like you have to tackle defects, you also have to tackle bugs and security intrusions and so forth. So kind of the whole space test kind of blurs into multiple spaces, a blurred lines between test and security and safety and so forth. So for those of us who have been dealing with pass-fail for 20 years, the fact that we are more significant than that, that trend is very exciting. And that's one of the things that are covered at places like the International Test Conference.
So Mentor just released a new streaming scan network. So tell me, Gaia, what does this solution really buy me as an engineer?
Well, so first, let me just explain a little bit kind of which part of the whole test universe that I'm a part of, because test has to do with equipment that's used in the factory and also a lot of other things. And what we released has to do with what the chip designers do to make their chips easier to test. Making things easy to test is important because, well, first of all, it reduces the chance of a customer ending up with something that's defective, but it also helps reduce the overall cost. So part of the reason why you can buy a new phone every year is that it's cheap enough that we keep both manufacturing costs down and all of that. So what the challenges that we deal with in making IC designs easier to test is also tackle the size of the semiconductor devices. And you can think of ICs like a mall, right? Before COVID, and we actually didn't buy everything online. Back in the old days, you would drive up directly to the store and it was easy. You went in, you bought what you needed and you left. And then the malls got bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's kind of what's happening with chips in the sense that they get bigger and bigger, but the building still only has one door, right? So if you want to find that shirt, you have to like, you know, go all the way in and find the right store and find the right location and so forth. And with Test, it's kind of like being the delivery guy in this, right? If I'm the UPS guy and I'm doing deliveries to all of these stores, at some point that gets really problematic when I have to go through the same door as the customer and kind of go from store to store. So what we released, Test and Streaming Scan Network, is really a kind of a universal delivery system of test data for big chips. Because really what happens inside the chip and how these guys work is that, while going back to the mall, there's usually one person working on each store, on each part of the design. And in the past, all of these guys had to really kind of align everything and make sure that, okay, you don't use the front door when my delivery guy shows up. So there was like a lot of interaction that had to happen to plan for make designs testable. And what we have announced is more of a universal test access mechanism where you as an engineer, you only need to focus on your, like on your store, right? So you're responsible for the pet store part of the mall or the chip. You don't have to worry about what happens in all the other stores or how far away from the door you're at. You just do, you know, focus on the inventory for your store. That's kind of what we are doing. So what happens now is that the engineers that are responsible for making these complex chips easier to test, their job is made much simpler in that they can focus on smaller building blocks of the design.
I don't know about you, Geir, but I certainly don't see ICs getting less complex as time goes on. What do you think are the biggest challenges we're going to face going forward, especially when it comes to testing these massive IC designs?
Well, I think some of the things that are going to change a little bit, yes, ICs are going to grow in size, but I think some of the challenges we're going to see is kind of how they grow in size, in that there is this concept of what we call 3D, where different pieces are kind of stacked together rather than packaged the way they are today. So that in addition to just dealing with bigger and bigger things, we now have to deal more with kind of how they are assembled and how do you test the interconnect between these different parts. And so a lot of these kind of architectures, if you will, of bigger chips are changing. So that's certainly going to be one challenge. Another challenge, I think, is more maybe even a bit geekier. And again, it relates to what I talked about, bigger and bigger mall and the same number of doors. And then what happens to chips is that a lot of what we call pins on the semiconductor devices, on the ICs, these are kind of reserved for super high speed purposes. So kind of a certain type of signals, and engineers don't like to use these pins, these access points, for test purposes, because once you use them for test, you could kind of slow down these high-speed pins. So at some point, we need to also figure out how to kind of use these high-speed pins also as access points for test. You know, right now, it is kind of an interesting problem, and a few years from now, it's going to be the way to do things.
Okay, that makes sense. All right, it is time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, since, Geir, you haven't been on my show yet, I'm going to throw you my standard COVID special. So if you could have one meal right now, doesn't matter if the restaurant's closed, it's in another country, you need a passport to get there. If you could have one thing right now, what would it be?
It would be a Swiss cheese fondue.
That is a great answer. Is there a particular thing that you enjoy dipping in that fondue?
No, just bread and cheese. The way that only, I guess, tourists do it in Switzerland. Apparently, we realized when we were visited Switzerland a few years ago that Swiss people only eat fondue in the winter. In the summer, they only serve it for tourists. So they tend to have these dedicated fondue huts for tourists, so we don't have to like stink up the place and disturb the locals. So yeah, just the tourist-friendly Swiss fondue with some old stale bread. That would be perfect.
I love that. And I didn't know that it was a winter only thing and only tourists eat it in the off season. That's fantastic. Well, Geir, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks again for being here.
Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you want to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, sure, I dig it. You can follow us or me on LinkedIn as well. And we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by me. And you can also subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, or heck, you just want to chat, I promise I will respond. Shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of November 6th, 2020, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.